came to church? Did anybody pray last night? Did anybody pray when they got here? Did anybody pray when we were all praying? Prayer. What is prayer? What is it? What is it? You know, one of the things we've been finding out is that how else can we stand against the wiles of the enemy? How else? Well, we have to put on the armor of God, right? And then pray. Do you remember that? I'll refresh your memory. Ephesians chapter 6. You can open your Bibles if you want. This is not going to be on the screen because I wasn't putting this on the screen, but it says that we have to put on the armor of God, verse 11 of chapter 6, to stand against the wiles of the enemy. It talks about all the armor of God, but then it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We should be not only praying to our Heavenly Father, but we should be watching out for one another and praying for one another with perseverance. So what is prayer? What is prayer? You know, some people say basic definition is talking to God. But it's much more. It's much more. Raise your hand if you can say that you fully understand prayer. Please do. If you do, come on up, because I'll sit down, please, and you can teach us. If you understand prayer, raise your hand, come on up. See, I'm not kidding. I don't understand prayer as much as we should. Not that I don't pray, not that we don't understand what the Bible says about it, but the depths of it. Think about it. Let me just say some things. To be able to go into the very throne room of God. Now, I know I don't have the juice, but maybe some of you have the juice that you can go to the mayor's office of Philadelphia and just walk in unannounced before you get tackled and arrested and thrown out, right? Maybe some of you have more juice and you can go over to the Harrisburg and go into the governor's office. Just walk in anytime you want. Say, listen, governor, I got some things to tell you about. Maybe you drive down to D.C. and you walk right into the White House, past the barriers. And go into the Oval Office or the East Wing. Sit down. Hey, let's chat. I know you ain't got that kind of juice. But we, some of you, I'd be afraid for you to go in those places. But we have the authority and the privilege to go into the throne room of the God of all creation. Think about that. Oh, I know, I can pray. No, contemplate that for a moment. Think about it. The access to the throne room of the God of all creation. And he welcomes you in. He invites you in. He tells you to come close. Do I understand that? No. Why would God want me to come close to him? Why would God want to hear from me? I know what the Bible says, but in my mind I say, why? And I can do it when I choose? Without even an invitation? Or without making an appointment? You know, some of you know our medical system is so broken now that some specialist doctors, you have to go a year out. Yet you can just say right now we're going to pray and God is, we're in our throne room. If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. I'll tell you some things prayer is not. Prayer is not meditation. Now, that's not to say we don't meditate on God's word. I'm talking about prayer is not the, the Eastern type of, that's not prayer. It's something else. You don't want to be bothered with that. Don't even get involved with that. It's not just passive reflection, though we do take time to reflect on God's word and the things and even answered prayer, but prayer is not passive reflection. It's direct access to God. And really at the heart of it, it's the communication of the human soul to the God who created that soul. Think about that. Did you ever wonder why the Psalms are so beloved? The Psalms, for the most part, are prayer. Prayer, many times, most times set to music, but prayer. The Psalms are the cry of the human heart. I could have given many examples, but if you'll bear with me, can I give you one example from Scripture? Bear with me. Read together Psalm 39. We're just going to read the psalm and then parts of Psalm 40. Psalm 39, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned, and I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor, Selah. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is a vapor, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as with all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. Wow. A cry of the heart. A cry of confession. A cry of desperation. A cry that says, you know what, I kept my mouth shut when I shouldn't have kept my mouth shut. And then my heart started to burn with me. And then when I wanted to speak, you wouldn't even let me speak. And like, I'm burning away. And Lord, I'm crying out to you because if I don't hear from you, I'm just going to be done. I'm gone. I'm like a vapor. The cry of the heart, the cry of the soul. Listen to Psalm 40. Again, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. And you can read on later yourself. I hope you would take time to do that. But here it is, the cry of the heart in 39. I am wasted away. I am burning within me. Lord, I'm just a vapor. Lord, if you don't call out to me, I'm going to be no more. God, I kept my mouth closed when I shouldn't have. And Lord, then when I went to open it, I couldn't even open it. Lord, I mean, help me. And then he says, you've inclined your ear. You heard my prayer. You set me on a solid rock, you know. You established, you put a new song in my mouth. And now I can't shut up about you. I can't stop talking about you. What a change. What a turnaround. He cried. And the Lord heard, and the Lord answered. See, prayer is the primary way for us as believers in Jesus Christ to communicate our emotions, our desires, you know, the wants and the needs, our angst, our confusion, our anxiety, our praise, or whatever is within us, to just emote and to bring it out before God. And it's to have time with him. not just to go in and bellyache, not just to go in and even just make requests. It's not just to go in and even just only praise. It's to spend time with him, to be with him, which he desires. He wants that. He invites it. He delights in it. See, I kind of wish that I was able to have those little cartoon bubbles above all your heads now and to see which heads are going pff, 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 and which heads are going like, wait a minute, computing, this isn't, I'm trying to figure this out, you know, whatever it may be, you know. It's amazing to me, is it not, that our God wants us to spend time with him? Think about somebody that you love real well. And think about when you're with them a long time, and sometimes you say, okay, I need a little break. I need a bathroom break. I need to take a walk. And this is people you love real well. Now think of somebody that you don't tolerate well at all, and think about 30 seconds into that conversation. You're already looking to get out of it and duck away from it. Yet our God wants to hear from all of us all the time and spend time with us all the time. It's amazing. As I said, I don't know any of us could fully understand that. See, prayer can and should be many times private and in our closet, but many times it also should be public, together. It can be formal, as we might consider what formal might be, or informal as whatever we might consider informal to be. There's really no outline per se that tells us in the way that we should conduct prayer, except it must be certain thing, or there must be certain things that do or be included in our prayer that the Bible has directed us that must be included. For example, our prayer must be offered in faith. It has to be. You have to believe that as you pray, there's a God in heaven. You have to believe as you pray, there's a God in heaven who will hear your prayer. You have to believe there's a God in heaven that will answer your prayer. You have to believe there's a God in heaven that is powerful enough to answer that prayer and that nobody can stop him to do what he wants to do. You have to believe those things. You say, just your opinion. Now, let me give you some scripture, Matthew 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. What? Wait a minute. I did pray for that really, 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 really nice new car, and I got a jalopy. I really did pray for this job that I wanted so bad, and I got unemployment. I believed it, really. Well, yeah. Everything we ask in faith, believing, he will provide. But there's some things that we have to understand that. Let me say something to you. James, in his epistle, the first chapter, says that if we lack wisdom, anybody need it? Anybody need wisdom? I can always use a lot more. He says, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So God tells us we need to have wisdom. He wants us to pray for wisdom. James says, if you lack it, ask, God will give it to you. But he says here, look, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He goes on to say later in his epistle that sometimes we don't have the things that we need or want because we do not ask in the first place. But then he says, sometimes though, when you're asking, you're only asking to consume those things on your own lust. He says, so God's not going to give you those things. So we need to understand that we need to pray in faith, but we have to have faith enough to know that God knows what we need better than we know ourselves. And God will answer our prayer in the way that he knows is the most appropriate, not only for you, but for other things that we may not be knowing that are going on. I'll get to that more in a moment. So pray in faith. Faith that there is a God in heaven who hears your prayer. Pray in faith that there's a God in heaven who's big enough that is bigger than your circumstances. And pray, number two, in the name of Jesus. You have to pray in the name of Jesus. It says in John 16, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." So you and I can't walk into the office of the president unannounced, go in there, but Jesus made a way to take the veil that separated a sinful man from a holy God, and he tore that veil in half, and he made us gave us access to the very throne room of Almighty God. We go in through him. There's no other way. No other way to the Father except through Jesus. There's no other way to go to the Father except through the Son. Ask in my name, and he asks that your joy may be full. And we're not left to our own devices. Because I don't know about you, but I always don't know what I should pray for or even how I should pray for things. I don't always know. And I'm not left to wonder, should I pray? How do I pray? What do I ask? What do I do this? God has promised us to give us the Holy Spirit who lives within us, to give us the Holy Spirit to be able to teach us how to pray and to pray through us and for us. Again, opinion? No. Let's look at God's word. Romans 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself," really himself, "maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints," listen, "according to the will of God." And when you're not sure what the answer means or why it's not coming or if it's different than what you thought, he adds, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to his purpose." The Holy Spirit, if you'll let him, will teach you and assist you in how to pray and pray for the things that you have need of, but knowing the mind and the will of the Father to be able to pray in ways that you can never pray on your own. And sometimes those words will never be able to be uttered, but just the cry of your heart, "Oh God," you know. And he searches and knows the will of the Father. And the answer comes. And if it's not the answer you think, or in the timing it should come, you say, "Father, I trust you, and I know somehow you're working all this together for the good. Help me to understand. Help me to have my joy be full that you are in control of my life, even when all my life seems to be out of control, but I trust you enough. And you are not unable to meet these cries of my heart, but you're working something out that I don't know yet what it is." See, in our flesh, we have no desire to pray. We don't. Well, at least pray according to the will of God. In our flesh, we might cry out to God because we're just selfish and we want something. James said, just want to consume stuff on our lust. And we may even be praying to a God that we don't even truly believe in because, you know, they say when you're desperate, there's no atheists in foxholes. There's always people that will pray out and cry out when there's a situation going on. But that's not the kind of prayer we're talking about. We're talking about the prayer of the saints, the prayer of the children of God to their God, their creator. So our fleshly side doesn't even really want to pray according to God's will, doesn't want to really draw close to him and spend time with him. But the children of God should have a natural desire to pray and want to spend time with our Father. I mentioned this briefly last week. I'll comment on it just a little bit more right now. You know, the disciples, as young Jewish men, were taught to pray. They would go to synagogue and pray. They were taught the prayers to pray. They learned how to pray. Yet when they spent time with Jesus in Luke 11, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, meaning Jesus, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." They looked at him, they marked him, they watched him. They saw him not only going offering some prayers like they would do out of a book or some prayers that they memorized, they saw him in communion with his Father. And they saw him pray in ways that they never even thought prayer was possible. And they said, "Lord, we want that. Help us to pray like you pray. Teach us to pray in that manner." And Jesus said, "Get away from me, don't bother me." No, he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven," to teach them when you pray. He gave them an outline of prayer. an opportunity to pray as he was praying, to see the idea of what it means to draw close to God and to spend time in communion with him. Yeah, it's asking, prayer is asking God's favor. Yes, it's pouring out one soul to the Lord. Yes, it's crying out to heaven. Yes, it's drawing near to God. Yes, it's kneeling and bowing our hearts before him. But it's much more than that. It's communion. It's fellowship. It's to be able to know that in any circumstance, that as Paul wrote to us in Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything. Now I'll give you some, you know, exercise again. Raise your hand if you've never been anxious about anything. Please. Raise your hand if you get anxious about a lot of things sometimes. We all do. We all get anxious. It's part of our makeup, our fallen nature. It's part of the flesh. Some more than others. There's some that are much more anxious than others. But there's all anxiety. And it may be as simple as this. What are those red lights behind my rearview mirror as I'm driving? And you get anxious saying, oh, I'm going to get a ticket, you know. Right? Whatever. There's all things, you know. It's going to be 105 today. I might not be able to make it. You know, things cause anxiety. Don't be anxious about most things. Don't be anxious about the petty thing, right? No, is that what it says? What's it say? Don't be anxious about anything. What? Impossible. Yeah, it is. So he says here, but in every situation by prayer. In other words, anxiety is going to come, but you turn it around and make it prayer. The anxiety is going to come, but you pray. Don't be anxious for anything. Be careful, King James, be careful for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication. That's actual requests, petitions, with thanksgiving. To be able to thank God as you pray, knowing that you have a big God in heaven who hears your prayer, knowing that you have a great God in heaven who is omniscient and is omnipresent and is all powerful. You thank him. You hear me. You thank him that you're going to answer me. You present your request to God in faith, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, teaching you to understand and know the will of God. And when you do so, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. The peace that you were speaking about. That you now are learning, that you can lay down and put your head down, because as you begin now to learn about Jesus and begin to pray and to trust him, you can get that. You can't buy that peace anywhere else. With all the money in the world, with all the influence of the world, you can never buy that peace. But Jesus gives you that peace. An answer to prayer. An answer to trusting him. To the prayer of faith, to knowing that he's got you in the palm of his hands, regardless of what's all the turmoil that's around you. The ship is going down, Jesus, and you're asleep. No, I'm with you. Peace, be still. Wow. Worry about nothing but pray about everything. Put that on a bumper sticker, baby. Everything? Yes, everything. Everything. How often? Here's a scripture that all of you could memorize and should memorize. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without. Say that again. Say it one more time. Now you got it memorized. I can't memorize scripture. You got that one. So how often do you pray? Without ceasing. What? Yeah, are those times, the special times in the prayer closet, the special times of before the Lord in worship and in prayer and thanksgiving and scripture and all that? Yeah, beautiful. That's wonderful. But guess what? All day long, baby. All day long, Father, you're in heaven. I'm with you. You're with me. I want to be in your presence. That conversation with God all day long, to pray in any and all circumstances, and that prayer develops a greater relationship with God, and it shows us when you're able to pray and you want to pray without ceasing, you know what you're doing? You're saying, my total dependence is on God, not on me. I need him in all things, in every situation. I can't do anything without him. And at the heart of all things, prayer doesn't change God. It changes us. So yes, seek him. Ask for wisdom. Ask for guidance. He loves that exchange. He wants to hear from you. And the fellowship with him is the heart of all prayer. It's that communion, that fellowship, that time spent with him is the heart of all prayer. See, sometimes we lose sight of how simple prayer really is. We make it way too complicated. He just wants us to spend time with him. Now, I'm not going to spend any time talking about the ABCs of prayer, like what, because you know why? The Bible, really, except for Jesus's, you know, example to us of the Lord's Prayer and that outline of prayer, we really don't have an example of prayer because, you know, prayer is drawing close to him. Prayer is, yes, there are, like all of us, our prayer life gets stale at times. Mine gets stale. And sometimes I will go and I'll go right back into that, you know, model of prayer. And I'll just start, Our Father in heaven. And I'll just, you know, acknowledge him. And like, you know, hallowed be thy name. And I'll just be able to praise and worship and glorify his name. And praying for his kingdom to come in me and in this world just as it is in heaven. Begin to pray on that, you know. And then for the needs and all those different things, this is that outline of prayer. But you know what? It just draw close. Spend time with him. Well, I like to worship before I pray. Good, wonderful. I like to confess before I pray. Great, wonderful. But pray. Pray. Pray and to know that when you pray in faith, trusting God, he hears and answers your prayer. You say, I need some more on that one, Pastor Joe. That one's got me. I'm not totally sure about it. Listen to 1 John chapter 5. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's a promise. Lord, teach us to pray. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that will lead us and to guide us into all truth and help us to pray for the things as we ought to. Help us to pray about everything, but knowing that we desire ultimately that even, Lord God, when we have these desires and needs in our heart, we want to pray that you will meet those needs according to your will and your plan and your purpose in your time, working it all together for the good, because you know what? He knows better. You know, Charles Spurgeon said that prayer girds the human weakness with divine strength, turns human folly into heavenly wisdom, and gives troubled mortals the peace of God. He goes on to say, we know not what prayer cannot do. We don't know. It's so amazing. It's so powerful. It's so vast. We don't know what prayer cannot do. You know, sometimes, again, our prayer sometimes gets into this format of just asking things from God. And I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, we say that we believe God to be omniscient, meaning knowing everything, right? Yet a great deal of prayer seems to consist of us giving him information. Think about that. We're trying to inform God. We're trying to tell God what to do and how to do it and tell him about things he doesn't know. How silly is that? Father, you know everything. You know it all. And then when the answer does come, or if the answer is delayed and doesn't come in the time that you think it should come, or if the answer is different than what you were expecting or whatever it might be, then you need to be able in faith to say what Paul said in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Father, you know better. You truly, Father, does know best. And I trust you enough that as I pray, you hear and answer according to your will, and your will is always better than mine. Teach me to know that you are in control, and let me rest in you. So yes, there's many examples of prayer in the Bible. Many. There's many examples of prayer. There's many exhortations to prayer, to pray. So my exhortation today is I didn't intend this to necessarily be a tutorial on prayer, though I think we learned some things today. It was more to say, Father, yes, help us to understand what prayer is and what it's not, but then help us to pray. Give us a heart and desire to be men and women of prayer. I'd love that Jim opened that time for the announcements just to have us pray together, to hear from one another. Again, corporate prayer has its place and personal prayer has its place. But you may be wondering as we close this message, yeah, but there's something that always bothers me. It's 12:31, it looks like. 12:29 on my clock. See, we're early. 12:29. And I'm praying. And I know there's probably a couple million other people at 12:29 praying to God. Come on, I know he's God, but how could he hear us all at once? What is it, like the message system up there? And they're coming in fast, God, here they are. Here they are, here's the prayer. Here's the prayer, God, read them real fast, speed reading. Oh. Think about this. And I'm going to read one more quote as we close. Another quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, God, meaning God, has infinite attention to spare for each one of us. He does not have to deal with us in the mass. In other words, God is removed from time constraints. The prayer you pray at 12:29 or 12:30 is the prayer that God has all eternity to answer. So he said, he doesn't deal with us in the mass. You are as much alone with him as if you were the only being he ever created. That's how vast our God is. When you pray, you're the only one in the room. And as your brother prays, he's the only one in the room. And as your sister prays, he's the only one in the room. That's how vast and amazing our God is. So don't think you're bothering him. Don't think that you're get crowded out by somebody who talks louder than you or prays longer than you or maybe uses the perfect King James English other than your prayer of your heart. No, don't think that, because when you pray, you're in the throne room of your Heavenly Father. He calls you to his throne, says, come here. And you can sit on his lap, and he has all eternity to spend listening to your prayer. And he'll answer you. And there's no greater time to start than now. And there's no more urgency than now to pray, because Jude closes his epistle by telling us that in the last days about the mockers and the scoffers, the ones that walk after their lust, that they separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit, but he gives the contrast. But you, church, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Church, I just pray today that this word, God's word, would encourage us, exhort us to be men and women, boys and girls of prayer, to spend time with him and to know that he hears you. He has eternity to spend with you, and he will hear and answer your prayer. Father, thank you for this word. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Let it not return void, and help us to pray as we ought to, knowing that you hear our prayer in faith. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us, and we trust that we will pray according to your will, and we know that you will work all these things out together for the good and will give us the petitions that we desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we sing, remember next week we have baby dedication. Yep. Little Samantha will be joining us along with Joe and his wife Sylvie as we will dedicate her. So encourage people that aren't here this week to come out and look for those again. If we haven't seen, make sure they're well, make sure they're cool, and try to invite them to come back next Sunday. So let's stand together as we sing one more time. Pray for the nation. You know, pray for one another. All I